about money. That's the difference between a wealthy society and a less wealthy society. In a wealthy society, money is the dominant topic. How to keep it, how to invest it, how to save it, how to spend it, how to, you know, how. But that is the topic. In such a society, it's very hard to talk Musar. You don't really have an audience. It's hard to talk about taking care of your clothes when every year at the end, I always mention it, young boys, 7, 8, 9-year-old boys that learn in my house Shabbos afternoon. So every year at the end of the season, we run a rummage sale. They say, we got overcoats and boots and jackets and ties and shirts and earmuffs. And, you know, not cheap stuff. When I was a small child, you know, if I lost my overcoat, that was it for the winter. Aside from the words of reprimand that one would get. And here the coat is sitting. It sits through the whole winter. Well, I mean, what's the kid wearing? He went home and he told his mother he lost the coat, so he went out and bought him another coat. So it's very hard to talk to that child about the importance of clothing. And in a wealthy society where everybody dresses like the dregs of the earth, where that is the fashion is to buy a pair of pants and have it washed and wrinkled before you put it on, because that's fashionable, right? If it looks, if it's got the original color and it's got a crease to the pants, so then how can you wear it? Or when you wear T-shirts that say every legend in the world upon them. It's very hard to talk about these things. And in a society where I'm number one, so there's very little audience to hear that there are other people to be considerate of. And in a society where having things means so much, acquisitiveness, greed, just having things is almost the center of a person's life. So then Musar doesn't really, it doesn't make a big hit. But in the poor society of Lithuania, where Jews had almost nothing, it provided a great spiritual uplift to people. And in the yeshivas, it became the hallmark of the yeshivas, the backbone of the yeshivas, the strongest part of the yeshivas. And it itself strengthened the yeshivas in such a way that the combination of the yeshiva movement and the Musar movement is what was able to hold what was left of the Jewish people from being swept away by the tide of Haskalah and later by the tide of revolution and of socialism and all the other things that are coming that we'll discuss in next year's series, God willing. But it was that strength that kept them going. As I mentioned to you, in the beginning already in the late 1850s and 1860s, Reb Yisrael began to leave Lithuania, and it was never explained his reason for leaving. He once, his disciple, Reb Itzler, quotes him as once saying that his reason for leaving was the following parable. He said that when a train is out of control, the brakes on the locomotive have failed, and the train is hurtling down the hill, he said, there is no force in the world that can stop it. But once the train has come to the bottom of the hill, and the inertia has been dissipated, so he said, then you can go down and you can catch the locomotive and fix the brakes and put the train back into order again. So he said, Lithuania, Eastern European Jewry, he said, it's still the train hurtling down the hill. It's still in the middle of the hill. There's no way to stop it. All efforts will still prove to be non-productive. He said, Western European Jewry, which fell down the hill 100 years earlier, he said, they're at the bottom already. So there's a chance to turn it around. There's a chance to change things. There's a chance to be of influence. And it is therefore fascinating that he traveled and eventually settled, as I mentioned to you, in Paris, traveled throughout Western Europe, Germany and France, attempting to strengthen his brethren, the refugees, who